We will just have a very brief Jai Radha Madhavad, so to give everyone the chance to assemble. We will be quite concrete today, and I request your real attention. Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Gopidana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopidana Vallabha Gopidana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Namunatira Vanashadi Namunatira Vanashadi Namunatira Vanashadi Shari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Gaura Prema Nandi Hari 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 Bo Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, I had this time a very, very clear guideline. I was asked three questions, and I wanted to work around these three questions because, yes, I feel that the leadership of Pandavasena is thoughtful and also experienced. They know what is going on. These were the questions. How to strengthen our community so that it continues to grow? How to build a common community identity so that we genuinely feel as one community? And the third question, how to maintain everything, everyone within the community so that the members feel so nourished that they don't desire to leave, that they feel everything is taken care of, I get everything. So these were very clear prescriptions, and I, who am usually giving very philosophical explanations, I felt, let me now speak our philosophy in such a relatable and relevant way that everyone is just enthusiastic and jumps on board. I really think this is a very crucial time. Time-wise, we enter into a new decade, but also Pandavasena has developed so many avenues of engaging oneself, even earning one's livelihood within the overall mission of Pandavasena, that it is now really possible to create a very strong and expanding community. And I always like to go to the roots. I think we have to be very much convinced that yes, being in relationship with other devotees and members of Pandavasenas is very important for me. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's very. These garlands are so fragrant, really. Thank you very much. I must admit to you that even myself, as a long-term member of an international society for Krishna consciousness, had to sometimes convince myself why it is important for me to leave my own little cave, so to say, my own little understanding, and go into a relationship. We heard yesterday that we are relational beings. Our social self is built in connection with others. That's how we learn the language, the habits. That's how we grow up, not as wolves, but as human beings. And in the same way, our spiritual self will require community. We need that more than food. There are investigations or research is done that people who had no association, they really suffered. And I want to go a little bit into this research first. What happens when you have no friends? Or only those casual friendships? How are you doing? Fine. And that's all what goes on. What happens when you are not connected? What happens to you psychologically and spiritually? Well, the first thing is you lose perspective. If there is no objective voice, no voice outside of your own head that calls you at times to balance, you will lose your perspective on life. What I mean with balance is we all know we have as Bhakti Thirtha Maharaj would say, two dogs in our hearts, or let us better say, two sides in us. One is a low side that tends towards low energy activities like seeing videos and films and eating too much, sleeping too much, being attracted to various material pleasures. And we also have a higher voice in us. So they are often fighting with each other. Prabhupada calls it, we have our conditioned nature and opposite to it, our constitutional or spiritual nature as part of Krishna. No? So if there is no one who calls you into balance, it could happen that your low voice, the inside of you, wins the upper hand. No? Isn't that sometimes, if you are all alone, then you will just meddle around. I don't know if this is an English word, but you will just be moody, be uninspired, be unencouraged, and the inner critic talks to you all the time. You are low, 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 you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, you can't do it. And all you can do is switch on the internet and do meaningless activities. We get easily into a clouded vision without having a voice which leads us out of this to our real nature. And a person who is thus alone, he often becomes strange. There is good research about even hermits who go out into the forest. They develop, listen to the new word I learned, some idiosyncrasies. Is that in English? Yeah, idiosyncrasies. You will have to look it up in your Google dictionary if you don't know it. It's some strangeness. In German language we say, der ist ja kauzig. Kauzig, you know. Many of you want to marry. Ooh, don't blush, I know it. My tip to all of you is, before you even look for a partner, get into good relationships, the Matajis with the Matajis, the men with the men, so that you are not strange. You may laugh, but it is like this. If there is no one outside of our mind, we conditioned souls tend to give emphasis to the lower self. We have done this for many, many lifetimes, if you so want, or if you don't believe in reincarnation, then we have done it for the major part of our life. The next thing which happens if you keep by yourself and don't enter fulfilling relationships, I'm not speaking of Facebook relationships all the time. You got this, right? The next thing is you try, there's a good chance that you will be selfish. Why? Well, isolation breeds this self-centeredness. Just think about it. If your whole life is dominated by your own agenda, I do this. If your whole life is dominated by your own schedule, your own desires, your own needs, the chances are super high that you will become self-absorbed or self-centered. Is that I think is crystal clear. We don't need to illustrate and so on. Is there a man who always and never communicates with others what should be done?
He will only fulfill his selfish goals. Now, my last argument for that it's important to leave your cave is if you are alone, isolated, disconnected, your mood will be poor. I've never met an inspired and inspiring person who is all by himself and who cannot get along with others. I've never met this. I've spoken with a few people. Have you met such a person? And one said, yes, a saint. I met one saint. Good. One saint. That's but that is not the normal scenario. Listen to this. I've done my research for this lecture. So there was a study with 7,000 people. They were in the study group over a period of 9 years. That's a good number. And it brought to light that isolated and disconnected people are 3 times more likely to learn to die an early death. 3 times more likely to die an early death than those with strong relations. That means people who have bad health habits, they never exercise, they are obese, they eat only lasagna and pizza and ice cream, bad health habits. The study was even including smokers and alcoholics, but who have good and strong social ties, they are more healthy than those who only eat vegan and salad and so on. To say it very, very bluntly, so that I make another entry into Abhishek's poem. It's better to eat lasagna, pizza, and chocolate ice cream with good friends than green field salad alone. It's better for your health. So these are the costs for being the isolated caveman, which some of you still are. You lose perspective, you tend to be selfish, and your health gets poor. Even health. I'm trying to speak a convincing language. Even if you're health conscious, better enter into relationships. So there was this question to me, Maharaj, how can we build a strong community where people get so nourished that they find everything and that it becomes also very attractive? I will give it the sign. Well, I asked myself 3 questions. The first question is, well, what do we want people to become when they enter Pandavasena? What is our offer to the people? What do we want to be known for as offering? I thought that is very important. The second question is, well, what do we want them to do when they are in Pandavasena? And the third question, where do we want people to go? In the temples? In Govardhan Eco Village, what is our plan? Where do we bring the people to? These questions I have asked, looking at the time where I am in Pandavasena for, this is 11 years, no, I don't know how long, but something 10, like 10 years or so. And remembering the discussions which touched on where we are and where we want to go to. So I want to try to answer these three questions one by one. What is our offer? What is the unique thing we want to offer to people's life? Is it skills? Life skills? Is it maybe knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita and our other shastras? What is it exactly that we can give as Pandavasenas and what we are good in? I suggest that our topmost goal is we wish people to grow in their relationship with Krishna. There are three things which Shastra says which happen when someone grows in their relationship with Krishna. They develop bhakti or devotion. Parishanubhavo is some experience of Krishna. And virakti means they become not so greedy after materialistic sense gratification. They develop detachment in a proper way. You can drive in a good car have a good palatial building, but it's about attachment to these and getting entangled and doing only sense gratification within these things and then going down in your consciousness and so on. We want people to grow in their relationship with Krishna. And we don't mind. It can be the skeptic who comes to us. Is there at all a God? It can be the newcomer who's interested. I saw you guys. My friend is also in Pandavasenas. I like to know what you know. They should grow. The advancing devotee, you know, who's on a high level, like our Janakinath, very advanced devotee, Sutapa, well, they are not Pandavasena. We have very advanced, Naveen Krishna, very advanced devotees, his wife, Suchi Rani, Krishna Avatar. Everyone should feel my relationship with Krishna is growing. I'm getting nourished. And also the returner, the blooped Pandavasena devotee who thinks, oh, material life has burnt me. I want to return to Pandavasena. All, wherever they are, should be able to make a step forward in their Krishna consciousness. Because remember, our first goal, our contribution is we want people to grow in their relationship to Krishna. And so on. And we want them to become spiritually mature. And now here I will ask a very important question. My dear devotees, some of you might like to take now a stone in the hand and fling it on me because it's so provocative what I will say at this stage. But listen to the end until I have explained to the end. I had to ask myself a question. Okay, we are a Krishna conscious movement. Krishna is in the center. But how will they grow? What is our process that helps all of one to grow? Is it the funnel system? A system which has a very broad circumference in the top, very broad knowledge, jamming, and a lot of Gujarati-tuned, enhanced pop music, you know. Is it Is it? And then it gets more and more until it's many courses. Then finally you can take the disciple course. Then you can be finally initiated and so on. Is it this, that we have a system where we give knowledge, courses, skills, and so on, that will bring them to spiritual maturity? I was for a long time a strong proponent of this funnel system. You know what a funnel system is, no? Very broad entry, and then it gets more and more, let us say, pointed. I don't want to say narrow. I gave lectures in Mayapur, seminars in Mayapur about this. Now I must confess to you, I think it's not a road to spiritual progress alone. I think it's a road to spiritual burnout. And I want to reason why I think like this. What people really crave for, and what they might not get by a system of education, courses, exams, examiner, and some regimen, some activities, you do service once a year, is they might not nourish their soul in all of this. Because once again, we are relational beings. That means we have a deep, deep requirement for good and fulfilling relationship. This is a common mistake. You undergo a certain regimen of classes, seminars, prescribed activities, and then you are mature enough to get, in our line, initiated. You are disciplined now. You have ended your curriculum. Hogya, finished. And so on. But have you really gained the essence in all of this? Have you really understood the root requirements? And that is that you need nourishing relationships, both to devotees and to Krishna. You need to, that you have come closer to Krishna. You need to feel, I have a relationship to Krishna. And you need to also feel you have nourishing devotee associations, because once again, you are a relational being. And unless that God-shaped and human-shaped or devotee-shaped hole is filled in your heart, you will remain discontent. You will remain unfulfilled. You will remain disconnected. You can be alone. And we have seen this in older devotees who felt no company, and they felt so much lacking and missing in their life that unconceivable things happened in their life. Saying, in other words, that spiritual maturity is attained at a point of time when you have fulfilled all the examen, when you have gone through the training road and so on, alone. That is like saying health is a phenomena that happens in a point of time. I spoke today with some wonderful young grihastas, and I said, it's not that with marriage you it's all over. Relationships require a constant deposit in order to remain what they once were and in order to become what they can become. What should we aspire for in relationships? Well, I would like you those to take note to make now a circle. I don't know if your mobile telephone can make a circle. I intentionally chose this exercise. A circle, and then you make a cross into the circle. In other words, you divide the circle into four equal quarters. Is it clear? My language is not obvious. Like this, like this. So in the upper left quarter, you write Krishna. Next to him, in the right quarter in your circle, you write devotee. Then in the quarter underneath Krishna, the left circle, you write down the people who are sympathetic to spiritual life. And in the missing quarter, you write down the asuras. Hare Krishna. These four quarters describe to you your work field. If you work on this field, you will attain spiritual maturity. You will get what the Pandavasena stands for. A relationship to Krishna as a servant, a relationship to devotees as the representatives of Krishna. Yes, you will preach to those who are open for spiritual life, the sympathetic audience. There's most of them. And you will carefully avoid the asuras, even if they make a good movie and entertain you with their wrong values. No, you are very careful of materialistic influence, which comes from that people, those people who have turned their face away from Krishna. Here you need to work. And if that is clear, yes, you need to learn the Shastras. You need to read the Bhagavatam book by Sutapa, who has such a good take on the Bhagavatam. You need to take the courses. They are all very good. But you need to know, I am a relational being. I am not a knowledge-inspiring being. That is second place as, I mean, first and foremost, I want to say it like this. You are a relational being. You are part of, you are a part, you're not the whole, you're part of Krishna. You have a relationship to him and to his parts. That's how you are made. That's your first and foremost need. I have heard there are studies which show the need for relationship is more than the need for food. Can you imagine? There were on babies that was there. When the mother was there always, and even though she was a dry mother, she could not give milk. I don't know if one says like this in for human beings. If that is the wrong word, please forgive me. But these children made it, but the children who were abandoned by their mothers, who didn't give attention, who were totally alone, they all died very early. So my first question is, what do we want the people and the devotees in Pandavasena to become? We want them to grow in relationship with Krishna and in relationship with each other. We want them to learn to make those deposits in their relationship to Krishna, which nourishes the relationship. It could be taking darshans in the temple. It should be could be regular service. It can be, usually it's in the realm of the three S. There are three S. Sadhana, then Sangha, yes, thank you, Then the third is seva. Sadhana, what? Sangha, and what? Seva. These are deposits. I think with every Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, we are making a deposit to the Lord. We're saying, my dear Lord, please accept me. It's very relational. With every seva, with sangha, good sangha, not casual sangha, you begin to talk about the most important item in your life, the most important point, Krishna. And then, sadhana, sangha, seva. When you do service, you should think this is for Krishna. Otherwise, it becomes just, I have to do this for free. I don't get even the sandish because everyone steals the sandish from the maha plate, nothing left for me. I want to again say a mature person in Pandava Sena is not someone who has completed a curriculum, but someone who grows. Now I come to my next, grows in relationship to Krishna. Now, what do we want people to do in Pandava Sena? We want them to grow in three types of relationships. The first is, thank you. How nice of you. The first is we want them to act in relationship to Krishna, but then comes the second relationship we want them to pursue. We want them to pursue the relationship with other devotees. That's why this idea of mentorship came up. There, relationships are cultivated in a smaller groups. No, or this is what we do here. This is for cultivating relationships to Pandava Senas. I want to. Before I go into my next point, I want to make an active learning exercise. I waited a little bit. I want you to build groups of two now. Quickly, please do that. You will go with Gokrishna. He might have serious questions to you. No problem. Everyone found a partner? No? So I have two questions for your groups. Okay, can I tell you? Let's make some music. Akash, did you find someone? Him, okay. Before I ask you the question, I have to ask the question to the whole group. Do you remember the costs of having poor relationships? What happens? Huh? I didn't acoustically hear you. You become strange. Hare Krishna. I wanted to thank you for, you speak very simple English. You lose perspective because there is no voice that calls you towards balance, no? When you are low, you are low. And when you are super high, you may be super high, but it may be an emotional high, which is short-lived. Okay. Third P
pay off, no, pay off, I don't say, the what is the opposite of benefit? The second loss when you are alone. You tend to become selfish. No. And the third loss? Poor mood and poor health. They are very much related. Yes, poor mood and poor health. I want you now to discuss with your partner a situation in your life when you were alone, isolated, all in your head and all in your life. I know that is not chic to discuss in Pandavasena. We only want to tell the hype moments in our life. But it is good. And then contrast that by something when you felt really well connected. Maybe you met a devotee, you could open your heart and you received that advice which you needed to come back on track. Is the question clear? Alone and well connected. How was that? Please don't think, no, I'm in Pandavasena, I'm always the Mr. Smile. My smile is so good that I could go to every dental advertisement and say, you make a photo of me and then you sell your toothpaste. No. We look for real things, no? Please start now. Abhishek, I'm doing what, no, I'm doing what you said. I'm doing.
An energizer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. It's perfect. Yeah, it's so good.
Trying to follow.
Hare Krishna.
Radhika Ranjan, I'm sorry. After this, can we read this Bhagavatam text? It's ready. Aha, it only needs a...
Take a...
Thank you. Good discussions? What? Yeah. Otherwise, we cannot be nourished properly. Seven. What do you think? Should we end here or yeah? Do you feel you have given it enough time? I see two members. Agandhari Babu has his hands very expressive. You make would be good on TV for a public interview. You, your hands are very descriptive. Good. Is that enough time? Were you first of all able to share honestly, or was it still a little difficult? All right. What went to you? I see you're not, you're looking at me. These are touchy questions, I know. I want to say that in my own life as a practicing devotee, as a devotee, I have always noted that when I went out of my cave, I have to say it like this, my own isolation, and when I climbed beyond my defense walls, above and beyond them, and had good discussions, I remember always that a new perspective opened up for me. Something which I had not seen on my own. And that was always extremely refreshing. I remember the last time I had such a discussion. It was at the end of my stay in Vrindavan, and I met with one of my best friends. He's a senior devotee. And we really decided to take some time off. So we needed to escape a little bit the areas where devotees would be able to recognize us and then come and, you know, usually devotees are very kind to senior devotees. They ask questions, they want guidance. And we went to a place where we were all by ourselves. And we asked ourselves a question. We said, now in our lives, we are approaching the 70 years. It is known that when you become 80 or 85 or 90, you begin to dwindle, your energy dwindles, already we dwindle now, you know, when you're approaching 70 years. I notice when I chant kirtans, I get easier out of breath. I'm still better than most of you. I didn't say it like this. I'm just objectively observing. Not to brag. but yes, it's not the same. It's not the same. 7 hours straight dancing? I don't know. So we asked ourselves, what would be, you know, he's from America and they have these American expressions, our end game. I do not like the American expression at all. I think it's not sensitive to the, but you know what I mean with end game. What will we do for the remaining part of our lives, contributing to Srila Prabhupada's just heart-touching endeavor to save conditioned souls. And we asked for an honest feedback. I asked my friend, you know, tell me honestly, I feel safe here with you, no one listens. Where are my strengths really? And what are areas where I should not go? What should I not do in your opinion? And the devotee told me something which was just so beautiful by highlighting really what he had observed. He knows me now for many years, 30 years, 40 years, something like this. And it was just so absolutely refreshing. And, you know, we all have an inner critic. Oh, you can't do this. This is a task way beyond your abilities, and so on. But he said by focusing on my strengths and by telling you, you know, Krishna is in control, I just felt so encouraged. I'm so inspired from this one talk. It gave me so much. And the devotee also wrote me some WhatsApp communication to Gaur Krishna's WhatsApp mobile telephone. How he was grateful. And, you know, I remember this. It was something we say in German, ein wegweisendes Gespräch. It was like, you know, your train is on one track, and then there is this little thing which you can throw to the left or right, then the train goes either to Birmingham from that point onwards or to London. What is that called? You know what I mean? Junction? James, you are a teacher in Cambridge. You should know. Sorry? Junction, yes. But it's a movable junction, no?
Points. They're called
Points? Yeah, Lieber. I think Akhanadi Prabhu is an architect, and that's near to engineering. So let us stay with points. You can, in old times, it used, some person would come there and he would, oh, the train to Birmingham comes. And zoom, he would do with the lever. Here your lever comes in. He would turn the whatever it is, point or junction. In German language, it's Weiche, but you are not so good in the German language. It doesn't say to you. They would turn it in the desired direction, so that the train would actually go to its destination and not to another unwanted destination. So in these discussions are like points in our life which bring us on the right track, a track which we might not able to find and see. And I think we all have made such experiences, no? That some discussions, oh boy, they really changed something in me. They put me on the track where I really want to go. And this is why Sadhu Sangha has been always called the root. Mula is the Bengali word, and it's also a Sanskrit word, the root for our spiritual advancement, because it helps you to find the track you need to find in your life. I think all of us know such discussions. It may be when it can happen also when you listen to a lecture and you really listen with that, oh, I need some direction. And all of a sudden you hear Prabhupada saying something and you feel, wow, this is just for me. No? Or do you read in the book? No? Have you? And bang, that's it. Because you have sangha, you have association with an exalted personality. So the first question was, what is the point of Pandavasena? Why do we do this? We want people to grow in their relationship to God. And the answer, and the next question we had to ask, what do we want them to do? How do they grow in this relationship to God? And that happens really by pursuing three relationships. The first relationship, you know, relationship to Krishna. Second relationship, devotees. And the third relationship, to the people whom we want to help, who are parts of Krishna, whom we want to elevate. Remember your circle, maybe you have not yet painted it. It's sometimes we need simple things, you know. This is the relationship circle in spiritual life. The Lord, Ishvara, the devotee, and then people who are open. I would like to give you now a verse from the Bhagavatam. If our technology works, it will be very good. Maybe someone, Gokrishna, do you have your mobile telephone with you? No. Someone has a mobile telephone, maybe with Veda. What is it? Veda base. And someone, please find me the verse, because I can't see it so good. 438, I think. No, I should tell you exactly. 438. It is here for you on the blackboard or on the lightboard. Oops, I have it. We must read this verse in context. So there are 10 exalted princes. They are called the Prachetas. And they had been ordered by their father to enter Grihastha life. Because they were princes and their father had made it clear, I want to retire after some time and hand over the government, the rule of the rulership of the country to you. They felt, before we go into Grihastha life, they did want to prepare themselves by very spiritual life. I know one of you, I will not tell the name because you are so joyful, you might laugh at him and he might feel discomfort inside. So I know one of you, before he married, he visited temples, he made a sabbatical. He got up very early for Mangal Aarti because he knew once there are children in the family, one cannot be so regulated. One has to see for the needs of the children. So these sons of Maharaj Prachinabahishad, they decided, let us also take, before we enter the ashram where we need to take care of children and of other people and the kingdom, let us do some austerities which will purify our hearts. So they looked for a peaceful place to meditate, and it said they went for 10,000 years to the best peaceful place to meditate, on the bottom of the ocean. So when they were on their way to do austerities, they met a great devotee on the way. Who remembers his name? Lord Shiva, correct. And Lord Shiva, seeing that these were devotees of the Lord who wanted to prepare themselves for responsible contribution to society, he felt so much sympathy. He expressed his heart. He said, devotees of Lord Hari are very dear to me, and I know that devotees of Lord Hari also love me very dearly. So I will give you a hymn, a stava, the Rudra Gita, and if you chant this, you will be very, very successful in your life. You will reach perfection. So then Shiva chanted to them the Rudra Gita. It is known in English as chanting the song of Lord Shiva. It's in the Bhagavatam, fourth canto. If you wish to read it, I chanted it for an entire year every day. It's a little lengthy, but it's very, very good. Maybe you want to chant it bits by bits and so on. So when they returned, their father saw, my God, my sons are ready. And he handed over the kingdom to them and renounced the kingdom and went away to a life of full dedication and devotional service. So before they, at that time, Krishna, in order to encourage them further, after all, they just came from the ocean, and now they wanted to do a total different life. It's almost like they came from Vrindavan and needed some help to orient themselves in London. Krishna gave some very good words to them, which I would like to chant with you and remember them with you. Please repeat after me. Let's make some.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Varam Vinitvam Batram Vo. Yujam me nripanandanaha Sohadena pritak dharmas Tushtoham suridenava he says something about relationships. In the last line, Tushto Hamid means, I'm very satisfied. Suri Dhena means by the friendship, and Vaha means of you. I'm said so pleased that you have such good relationships amongst you. Let me read the entire verse for your delight. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear sons of the King, I'm very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me. Let us focus on this one point. If we want to grow in our relationship with Krishna, we obviously need to do something to please him, to give pleasure to him. This is what you do in a relationship. That's a deposit in a relationship. And one way to do this is to have good relationships with those who are engaged in devotional service. And then the blessings of the Lord can come. And you know, by the blessings of Krishna, Pandava Sena can grow unlimitedly. It is already growing very nice. Now, there is a very nice purport. I will just read some highlights for you. Each and every one of the sons of King Prachina Bahishat was an individual soul. Now, we believe also in individuality, but they were united in offering transcendental service to the Lord. And then Prabhupada makes one of these sentences which you cannot forget. The unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord, that is real unity. In the material world, such unity is not possible. And he says why it is not possible, because everyone pursues different selfish interests. But here in a spiritual society, we come out of this selfishness, out of this isolation, and fulfill our needs of relation with others. Prabhupada says disunity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. No? That can happen. But then he says, as long as they remain focused on service to Krishna, this is not to be taken so serious. It says, actually in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There's only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. This is the closure of this. If you are engaged in service to the Supreme Lord, then you cannot really be disunited in any circumstances. You can disagree and say, I think like this. No, I really think like this. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy. Oh, he becomes so happy when he sees us devotees in this world trying to cooperate. And he becomes so happy that he becomes willing to award all kinds of benediction to his devotees, as it is indicated in this verse. My dear devotees, what do you want? To struggle alone or get the blessings of Krishna? This is a rhetoric question. You don't have to answer. So this is necessary if you want to grow in your relationship with Krishna. Pursue relationships with devotees. And the last is, where do we want people to go?
In Pandavasena. In a temple? Into the Grihastha ashram? Where do we lead them to? It's a good question, isn't it?
First question was, what do we want people to become? That we want them to become mature in their relationship with Krishna, or let us say maturing, it's a process in their relationship with Krishna. What do we want them to do? Pursue three relationships. We want them to relate to Krishna, devotees, I keep on ignoring the last one. But I will come to this a little later. It's you know, doing something good for the benefit of others. But where do we want them to go? You know, they come to us and they will ask us, where does this lead me to?
I was thinking like you for a long time. I see you are flabbergasted with this question.
Oh, this is a question.
I would suggest we want people to go into the Pandava Sena ecosystem. Who of you remembers Naveen Krishna's presentation about the Pandava Sena ecosystem? Please raise your hand. I need to know how familiar you are with this concept. Sutapa, you've also educated yourself? Yes, I've also educated myself sufficiently. Can I please have a more visible show of hands? Yeah, please. Oh, Madhuji, so little of you. It's definitely 2/3, I would say. The remaining third, just to give you a brief overview of this, is there is an engagement in the ecosystem from cradle to grave. I learned this. Abhishek, I want to give pleasure to your heart with this nifty sentences. It means when they grow, come into Krishna consciousness as children, there should be something for them, because we want everyone to grow. Children, we don't make any difference. Newcomer, skeptic, of course, our children, there's something. I think Vrinda Kumari is, and her husband are very concerned about this and developing something. And then there are opportunities for them to go on sabbaticals, you know, in their life. They can stay connected through the Pandava Sena alumni. That's an important group to us. If they look for an engagement within or connected with Pandava Sena, there are now many schools, first class schools. I know that there are, Naveen Krishna Prabhu, please help me. Were there seven schools, or somehow I have the number seven? Seven schools are available. Ooh. You can become a teacher, or a staff member, or a toilet cleaner if in the school. Your children are also using. In other words, there's good and paid engagement. Yes, you can make a livelihood. And so many things. There is a publication on the Pandava Sena ecosystem. It's somewhere written down. Please make yourself familiar with this. It's very, very, very important that you know, especially for newcomers and for old beings, you know. It's very important. Before I go into question and answers, which I want to do,
I want to make a group exercise with you where you throw words into the... In order to know how this community can grow stronger, I picked this up from someone. I didn't come to this on my own. I asked someone. You need to find one word that Pandavasena stands for. I want to give a few examples. Starbucks. What is the word which comes to mind?
Coffee.
Very good. Cola. What is the word that comes from mind to mind? What? Coca. Yes. Coca-Cola. No? Now it gets a little bit more difficult. What is the word which comes to mind when you think of ISKCON? I'm sorry? I'm waiting for your intelligent contributions. Prabhupada, wonderful. That comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Other words which come to mind? Hare Krishna. Very good. Let us ask Sutapa, who is known for acronyms. he knows these words, you know. What would you say?
Mission.
Mm-hmm. It's a mission, yes. So we have some good answers. Now we will lead into a difficult question. What is the word which we want people to know when they hear Pandavasena? What is the word which we want to know? It's a very difficult question. I will give some suggestions. Churn you. Are we a preaching movement? Is this describing us? Some would say, yes, this is a preaching apparatus. It's an arm of ISKCON. It aims at the young people. Some would like to narrow it down. Some would like to keep it broad. I'll leave it here. Some would say maybe it's for worshiping. We want them to sing and dance and go to good preaching. Some say, no, Pandavasena, we want to really teach them the scriptures. They need to know. Some say, would maybe say, Pandavasena, like ISKCON, is for helping people to recover from the miseries of material life. They have so many wounds, so and so left them. Oh, so many wounds from the life's challenges and so on. Or others would say, well, we need to serve the people, Maharaj, our members and so on. What is it that Pandavasena stands for? You can also use two words or three words, but not more, please. Let us start. Throw things into the basket. When people think of Pandavasena now, what word comes to mind? Naveen Krishna? I would say dancing Gujaratis. joking, like Abhishek. You know, some. I have to learn to be more interactive, you know. What comes to mind? I'm not serious. I was joking. It was humor. And because I only come not so often, I think I get away with... it's not a nice humor, really. Yes, our devotee? Yes? Prabhupada's army. Thank you. We look for not humorous statements, like all of your contributions were serious contributions. I went out of the... Yes. Pioneering, wonderful words. I couldn't acoustically hear. Spiritual youth, are you young? All of them, yeah, all of them, yes. Yes, 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 very good. Yes. Innovation. Sorry? Family? Family, good. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Life school.
A life school? Syam Gopal, you are intelligent man. Spiritual revolution. Wonderful. James?
Space.
Space. Space. Mm-hmm. Our Matatis, please, what comes to mind? How would you describe it to another, to an outsider? Yes? Lifelong friendships. Mm-hmm. I think our Matati, young Matati, you had an idea? You were scratching your face. Yes, that is also a requirement. No, no, isn't it some itching? It can happen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Krishna's community. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I can't. Are you Nimai? Good. Nimai, please. A loving family. Yes. Varnashram. Yeah. No, no, no. I'm saying a thoughtful yeah. There are a lot of opinions what Pandavasena is. Do we really know the one word? Like in Germany, when you hear Lind, it's clear, it's chocolate from Austria. When you hear, what would you like the people to think of? And if you find that one word, would that influence your present Pandavasenas, how it works now? I would like to give one my suggestion. Of course, I'm into this presentation, as you see. I don't know good words. That is Abhishek and Rajanab. They know, and Sutapa. They are good with that one word, you know, which says it all. But I somehow feel it should talk about relationships, that one word, to God, divine relationships maybe, or sacred relation, something modern. It needs to have that. I understand, and I'm an old timer, therefore I will not give one word, but in English, you know, each word has words which are around it. For instance, love has the word gratitude, relation, attentive service to the needs of another. There are few words which somehow float around the term love, or devotee, you know, tolerant, inspired, devoted, and so on. So to hunt for that one word, or let us say three words, it's also good, three or four or whatever, you do need to have a little brainstorm. You could call it spiritual ecosystem, maybe spiritual human ecosystem, but that's it needs to be a little catchy. And when you hear it, you should feel,
wow, that's just what I need, you know, because it should address these needs. Remember the first need of the human being, he's a relational being. He needs that. So it maybe you write relationship as the point, and then around it, you will find the words which are circling or floating around this. But it has to do something in my, with my suggestion about relationships. And sharing then relationships with others can be explained in the mission and in the thing like revolution, Varnashram, if you wish. What Krishna Kirtan, what did you say? I like that very much. Life school, you know, or some will say, oh no, not school, I escaped that, you know, not again. You need to find the right, you know, which is as specific and inviting as possible. That's important if you want to find something all people can identify with. Remember, we looked for identification in the mission of Pandavasena. That was one of the things, how to strengthen our community so that it continues to grow, and how to build a common community identity so that we genuinely feel as one community. You know, we circle around this. Good. I have reached my time limit, and I want to now open the forum for questions and also possible contributions. I hope it is inspiring for you and thought-provoking for you. What we deal with, just to see where we are going with our presentation, we first needed to find out what is the point of this Krishna conscious, this Pandavasena, maturing in your relationship with Krishna. We wanted to address the question, what should we do to pursue the three relationships to Krishna, to devotees, and to the non-devotees who are not asuric in disposition. And where do we want them to go? The Pandavasena ecosystem. You will see, we have these things pretty much intact. Tomorrow, I want to cover the areas where I feel we can still improve to make it even more attractive. It will be another thought-provoking presentation. But now I want to open the forum for questions. Please ask questions which came up or possible contributions. Yes, Prabhu. Your good name again? Kishan. No, you can't do that. Yeah.
So,
I definitely have tips. You know, my main service is I'm presenting Krishna consciousness to various audiences, and I really want to influence them to take up Krishna consciousness practice and so on. And
I had to ask myself the question after 50, I'm doing this for almost 40 years. I spent 5 years of my devotional life translating. I had to ask myself, when am I effective and when I am not effective? You know, after so many lectures. And I always found out when I'm a happy in Krishna conscious, then I have so much effect. You can't believe. I get emails that I got one email that, Maharaj, I was a total atheist and I came to Mayapur to defeat my brother who is interested in ISKCON. And I wanted to see the falls. Then something happened to me. I was going to the Ganga and you just came out of the Ganga dripping. You know, that happened. That is what you do when you come out of the Ganga. You drip with Ganga. And you talk to me. And since that time, I'm a devotee. Do you remember? I have no clue that I talked to someone dripping wet from after the Ganga. But he knows better than me because can't remember all things. I was, you know, the bath in the Ganga purifies the heart. I was a little better than I'm normally. So it must have been effective. It was Mother Ganga's mercy on me and on him. I always also found out when you live what you are talking about, that's the second thing, that has a tremendous, effect on others. It's called integrity. So whenever I am doing that, I notice people get inspired. I was in the summer of 2019, in the summer I was facing an audience which was not so easy for me. They were scientists, and I had been requested to talk about the scientific basis of meditation to them and lead them into a meditation. There was a good number of them. Akandati Prabhu had visited one of these conferences the year before, and I was not so comfortable because I'm not such a scientist by nature. I have never shown interest in this subject. And yes, I know a little, the same things which everyone knows, more or less. But somehow, meditation is something I do. I do mantra meditation, you know, like all of you. And I do also Gayatri meditation. I meditate about the syllables of the Gayatri mantra and the images which they invoke, the respective mantras. I connect it with this and I talk from that and then put a little scientific explanation about pathways, you know, and etc. Simple things which I could understand, and then talked about it, and it had an effect. So, for the leaders of Pandava Sena, it's therefore important to be nourished also. I think nourishment starts with the leaders, and that's the idea of the Buckland mentorship meetings at the beginning of the year. No, that is also, I would say, there can be maybe other getaways or sanghas so that the leaders who have to lead others can be inspired and so on. They may also have to ask themselves, am I good in this job? That is also not everyone can do, be a mentor. Is this my forte, my capability? But generally, whenever you are inspired in Krishna consciousness, and the second thing, you talk about what you live yourself, then the power of your life will speak through you. That is highly inspiring. I noticed this. I was traveling, just to underline this a little bit, I was traveling from Delhi to Istanbul just very recently. In Istanbul, I changed the flight to fly back to Germany. And one friend of Krishna consciousness had sponsored business class seat. I don't know if you know business class seats. There is a bottom, you go beep, and then it stretches out, and you are in a cozy bed all of a sudden, which is very helpful when you are so tired and exhausted and you have to fight later the jet lag. You just sleep. So I pushed my bottom, and as I was going down, my neighbor said in German, "Gute Idee, good idea." And he also pushed his bottom and went also down. And I thought, well, he speaks German. This is, now I can talk all with all words which I know. And so I got up, I peeped up in my business seat and looked down to him and said something in German. I remembered, I said, "Isn't it sometimes a relief after a long stay in India to hear a German word?" And he said, "Yes, how did you know?" And we started to talk. And it turns out he is one chief executive of the company Chibo. Do you know Chibo? It's a German version of Starbucks. And very, you know, everyone in German knows Chibo. And we pushed on the other bottom, which means your bed goes up. He went also, and we started to discuss about Krishna consciousness for a good hour, and then we felt, let us stay with a good idea, and we pushed the other bottom. But I do remember, although I have not so much, I mean, I know people in the upper circles, but I have focused on those who are spiritually interested. You know, who come to us, and the upper circles in Germany don't come to us. We are seen as pioneering. I noticed as I was talking, he got so much out of it. And then there was, of course, a person who visited us regularly in Punjabi Bagh, and he recognized me. "Oh, Swamiji, I'm following you on Facebook." And he heard, the other person heard this. "My God, this is a famous Swamiji. I must shape up here and talk properly." So yes. So what I want to say is, the moment you rest in your space, you can talk to even Donald Trump, I think. He's on my list, you know. Hare Krishna. Yes, there is... Nimai, I see you. Are you a Pandava Sena? Yes, you are. Yes.
Sometimes investing in loving relationships can require a lot of energy. And sometimes it may arise that the relationship may feel somewhat one-sided, or the reciprocation quite is not there. So how much energy should one put, or how far should one go for realizing maybe this is not the relationship you continue to invest in and look elsewhere, or is there a new
There are definitely relationships which I would call lift relationships. What is a lift relationship? Another word would be escalator relationship. You know, you gather in an escalator and you may have some friendly talk, but then it's clear. It's the seventh story. And the person says, goodbye, I need to go to my office. And there is no, the relationship is terminated now. It's an escalator relationship. It was there for some time while you were going up the lift or the escalator. There are such relationships which are really only there for a limited amount of time. I would suggest that in a group like Pandavasenas, we don't really have escalator relationships because we are a pioneering movement. We are trying to do something wonderful for people. Can I speak bluntly? Get out of your head or you will be dead. In relationships, I'm looking to Abhishek. I learned this new slogan. In relationships, you can't be all the time in your head. Means see a person with your pattern. In all relationships, your patterns will spring into action. And what this means is you will like and dislike. There are things which you like in the person and things which you really do not like. It could be the smell from their mouth. Something very, it could be a certain reaction at a certain moment where you went cross, which crossed you, and so on. I would suggest in supporting relationships, you as blunt as this sentence sounds, I know you're in relationship not in your head. I know this. I know you. We were doing kirtans together, and you are the cattle man. But we all have these likes and dislikes. And I find out in devotional relationships, the strengths which you get to go over this likes and dislikes thing, which will happen with everyone in the world. You must know there's one thing which will never happen in a relationship, and that is that the other person will perform according to your expectations. It cannot happen. It will not happen. It never happened. Therefore, I said this blunt sentence just because young people like such blunt sentences. Your likes and dislikes are happening. I have seen this with people who relate to me. Sometimes they like me very much and then they don't like me very much. I have seen this. This is in my horoscope even. I'm not able to fulfill all expectations because I'm an individual person, different from any other person. Just like each person's fingerprint differs from the fingerprints of others, there will be differences. And therefore, our slogan is always, unity in diversity, unity in diversity. In relationships, people will never confront fulfill your expectations. So what you need to do when a relationship which is not an escalator relationship, not a lift relationship. You need to switch to the servant mode. How can I be helpful to this person when the dislike comes in? And you will see that that moment of dislike will also disappear, especially when you serve people. That's a strong answer, isn't it? I mean, yes. Let me look towards the Matajis because time is, I want to give equal chances. Yes, you will get your microphone.
Sorry, very short.
Yes.
So, when you were talking about descriptions of bodies and all the community we have, I was thinking about both the other knowledge and he described life in a special scripture for the school of God.
Who? Bhakti Teta Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Yes,
he. The school of love also comes with many challenges. And one of the things I've noticed is probably one of the most challenging things we have in relationships experiences is when our trust is betrayed. So some devotees come into Krishna consciousness and they've already had their trust betrayed before they came. They come to Krishna consciousness seeking solace. Others have their trust betrayed. Once they're into
that
relationship, it's inevitable, like
yes.
You know, they're going to be disappointed. How can we, as devotees, see when a devotee betrayed their trust, whether they're a friend or a senior, how do we see that as Krishna's mercy?
How do we see it as Krishna's mercy? Ultimately, Krishna is behind everything, but let us not always stay in the ultimate perspective because it's really difficult, you know, to see that everything and everyone is moving independent from Krishna, not independent from Krishna. I will ask now Gokrishna to bring me something from up. Where I will answer with a quotation. It could be human failure that this devotee betrayed our trust. We may not have to look so far and in such a, let us say, spiritual domain which requires high spiritual qualifications to access it. I have been personally in situations where I experienced what you have seen, and I have suffered terribly when that trust is betrayed. I know the pain which comes, especially when you invested really a lot in the relationship. You brought a lot to it. Then it's painful. You may think it's Krishna's mercy, but that is so abstract at that moment that you can't do. Then I learned something which really helped me. You must understand, I was not born in such good situations as most of you, where your parents are somehow connected with the principles of spiritual life. So what helped me is, I understood that this person who just was wounding me really so much could only act the way they saw things. And I understood he was in this way a little bit like a computer which has to work according to the programs which are installed in the computer. In the same way as a computer has its set programs, that means limited possibilities. Human beings also have their sanskaras in Sanskrit. And therefore he couldn't act differently. I went a long way in thinking about homosexuals. I do not know if you know, of course everyone knows what this is. It is an orientation which I couldn't in the beginning understand. Why is this orientation there? One cannot conceive a child, in the same gender. And it felt so, so foreign to think like a someone, that I developed a judgmental attitude. I thought, and I had strong words. Then, as time went by and devotees with such an orientation came to me, I started to show an interest and say, please explain me how you feel like this. I cannot understand, but I don't want to be hurtful or judgmental, but can you just help me? And one devotee said to me, Maharaj, anyone who has this orientation, it's not that he chooses to have this orientation, but it is there as much as hunger is there or a need to have a good amount of health, of rest, And I must say, I had overlooked this point. And how can you be judgmental about someone who has no choice? You can just say, when you are asked about it, you can say, it's a different, almost like it's a different orientation that you can say. And what you do with this orientation, it is your own responsibility in your spiritual life, how you pursue this orientation. It is, please see that it is done properly. I also learned from one academically trained homosexual who has this orientation, but who he believes in the four rules and regulations and therefore doesn't pursue it. But he said, there is one purport in the Bhagavatam which is often misquoted by those who are judgmental, and that is that this is demoniac. It is not said in this purport. And if one reads the verses and the following purpose, one understands it. The word demoniac is not a general statement about those with this orientation. It's about those who wanted who chased after the Brahma and wanted to eat him up, and so on. So, if you understand, anyone has to act the way they are bound to act or forced to act, even if someone has hurt you because he betrayed your trust, he couldn't do differently at that moment. Some program kicked in, so to say, in his personality, or became activated. That's a more proper way to say, and therefore you acted the way he acted. You mentioned Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and at the end I will give you a little... No, I will give this in the beginning of the next session. My dear devotees, let us celebrate. I'm only 2 minutes to overtime. This is extraordinary. It came by your good Sangha. Oh no, it came because Abhishek was there. I want to end here. I thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Thank you, thank you, thank you.